You want to turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 10. I think Mr. Harris' opportunity to come along and to preach tonight. Just to inform you that we're up in Killalea, County Armagh, the other side there of Armagh, a little village. Doing door work during the week there, and we commenced our mission this afternoon in a wee village. And we had a good enough number, around about 50, which is not too bad. And it was good to see the men. A couple of unsaved was in as well. And we thank the Lord for that. So do pray for that mission. Do pray the Lord to bring people in from the community, farming community, fishing around the country as well, and bring them in to hear the word of the Lord. It's on for 2 weeks, 8 o'clock each night. And we trust the Lord to really bless us and bring people to himself at this time. Now, I want us to turn to Numbers chapter 10, as we've read together. And I want to speak tonight about these silver trumpets, are really the gospel in the trumpets that we find here in Numbers chapter 10. So let's look to the Lord and pray for a blessing for your own heart. And pray that God to speak to any who's unconverted in the meeting, that he will bring them to himself tonight. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the meeting. We pray that we'll be with us as we turn now to thy word. We pray for help. We pray for help to listen as well, Lord, and for help to speak. And we pray we'll be blessed as we sit around the feet of Christ by faith, Lord, and listen to his word. So continue with us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Fanny Crosby, as each one perhaps knows tonight, was a great hymn writer. They tell us when she was 6 years old that she developed a cold and she developed inflammation of the eyes. The family doctor was sought, but he was not around and not available. So another person came in his place, and he recommended that they would put mustard plasters as treatment because of a thing in her eyes. But the whole thing went wrong. And a young girl of 6 years old, or 6 weeks old, she lost her sight. And you can imagine that young girl growing up in darkness, blindness, physically speaking. Well, thank the Lord, her eyes are open spiritually. And there's a day in her life that she saw Christ. And she found the Lord Jesus Christ as her Lord and her Savior. And by the grace of God, this young woman, despite her disability, turned in to be one of the greatest hymn writers there ever has been. It is estimated that she wrote around 8,000 hymns. And no doubt our hymn book has many of them. One of the great hymns that she wrote was these words: "Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, the sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus." And here was a young woman taken up with the Lord Jesus Christ, and she loved to speak of Christ. She loved to sing of the Lord Jesus Christ. She loved to hear people standing and preach the Lord Jesus Christ. And so she wrote that tremendous hymn, "Tell me the story of Jesus." That's the greatest story you and I have ever heard, isn't it? There was a time in our life we were in darkness. We were far away from God. We were lost in our sin. We were heading down towards hell, and we heard the story of Jesus Christ and how he loved us, how he came into the world and bled and died upon the cross, and he's our only hope. We had to turn to him. We had to come to him and trust him with all of our heart, and he would save us. That's the greatest story I ever heard. But the Lord Jesus Christ loving me and coming to die upon the cross to save me. Not a bit of wonder this young woman was taken up with the great story of Jesus Christ. The wondrous story of the Lord Jesus Christ is found all throughout the Bible. The Bible is full of Christ. It directs us to none other. It's not to direct us to ourselves. It's direct us to the Lord Jesus Christ. From the very first book of the book of Genesis to the final book of the Bible, which is the book of Revelation. It is full of the revelation and the wondrous story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we find the gospel in prophecy. Sometimes we find the gospel in types in the scripture. That's why when you come to the Old Testament, we read of all about the types. We read about the offerings and we read about the sacrifices. Well, what do they all mean? Listen, it's telling the story of Jesus. That's what they're doing. When you read Leviticus and you say, oh, all these offerings, all these lists of names and things, what's it doing? It's telling the story of Jesus. That's what it's doing. And I come here tonight to the book of Numbers in the chapter 10, and here we find God speaking unto Moses about the trumpets again. It's telling us the story of Jesus. And in these trumpets, there's a tremendous picture of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that I want us to notice together in the final moments of this meeting tonight. And the first thing I want to see about the trumpets, I want to notice the building of the trumpets. You can see in verse 1 and 2, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them. And you find here immediately about these trumpets that they were to be built according to God's plan. This was God's plan for the trumpets. You can see that in the verse 1. It tells us, and the Lord spake unto Moses, make thee two trumpets of silver. It was not Moses' idea or Moses' plan to make these silver trumpets. It was not Aaron's. It was not the people's. It was not the congregation's. Nobody came up with this plan at all. No, this was God's plan. God is speaking on to Moses. And he says, you make these two trumpets. I want to say to you tonight, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's God's plan. It's his plan to save us. No one else's. That's why Jonah was away down in the very bottom of the whale's belly. He learned a great theological doctrine or theological truth. Salvation is of the Lord. It's God's plan. We find in the book of Genesis when Adam sinned against God and he ran and he hid himself, him and Eve, in behind a tree and they were hiding from God, that God says, Adam, where art thou? God came looking. He came looking for Adam. Wasn't Adam looking for him? Wasn't Adam looking for salvation? Not a bit of it. It was God. It was God come seeking him, you see. That's why when we come to 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 2, it says, it's the gospel of God. And the gospel we preach is God's gospel. It's his message. It's his plan how to save us. It's all about his love and mercy unto us. And so these two trumpets were built according to his plan. God spoke. And the gospel is the same. It's God's plan that came down from heaven. God's plan to send his son to come to save us. It was also in the building of these trumpets. Notice it was according to the plan, but according to the pattern. You see that in verse 2. Make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them. Moses is told very plainly here that these trumpets were to be made, listen, out of silver. God is telling them how they are to be made. He's not to make them out of copper. I'm sure he could have done that. He's not to make these out of brass. No, God is given the plan, he's given the details, he's given the pattern, and he says to Moses, I want you to make these two silver trumpets out of silver. God has given the plan and the details. Now you and I know when we come to the Bible that silver in the Bible, it's a symbol of redemption. It's a symbol of money. We find there in Genesis 37, in verse 28, young Joseph, remember he was cast into the pit. He was hated by his brothers. They said, well, what are we going to do with him? Some says, well, let's kill him. Let's destroy him. And then they come up with a plan. When they saw the Ishmaelites and the Midianites passing by, it says, well, sell him. And you find there, you know what they sold him? 20 pieces, notice, silver. Silver. There we have it, the key of it all, friends. It's paying the price. Well, then we can go on to the New Testament. We think of Judas, that one who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, who was a hypocrite. and played the hypocrite. And yet we find him in the Gospels going out and he sold the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. You see, silver in the Bible is a symbol of redemption. It's a symbol of a purchase, paying the price. And God says to Moses, see, you make these two trumpets, you make sure they're made out of silver. Out of silver. You see, the stamp of redemption in the Gospel is Jesus Christ paying the price upon the cross. And that's why when Peter was writing, remember, over to those Christians who were suffering for the faith and who were scattered abroad, and he's reminding them of their salvation. He's reminding them of the great work upon the cross of Jesus Christ. And he said to them in verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And here he takes them to the cross. And he reminds them of their redemption. And he says, listen, you were not redeemed with silver. You were not redeemed with gold. But I want to tell you how you were redeemed. You're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. That's the gospel. Silver trumpets are pointing to this. The purchase, the work of the cross. That's why they say about these silver trumpets, it was beaten work. No dross, no bad metal was allowed. It was pure and it was all mixed. The Lord Jesus, we can think of this in the sense it was beaten work, because the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53 and verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. I cannot tell you here tonight the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ or what he went through. I do not know. But I know he went through great agony. He went through the furnace. He went through, in a sense, hell in order that he might save us. He was tormented. He was wounded. He was bruised. You see, it was beaten work. God has shown him here how to make these two trumpets. You find here a symbol of redemption. I want to say to you tonight, you need Christ to redeem you. I'm glad tonight he paid the price I couldn't pay. He paid the price he didn't know. He didn't know. He never sinned once. Well, you and I have sinned many times. But there's a great hymn, isn't there, in our hymn book, that Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. We find this in the making of the trumpets of silver. Also in the pattern, you can find there it was one piece of a whole piece shot they make it. So when they're making them, they're not going to make two or three pieces and then try to get them soldered together. That was not the case. God is very clear about this. You're going to make these trumpets and make them with one piece. There's going to be a bit of engineering here, and there's going to be a bit of work and shaping of these trumpets. But God is clear here. They've got to be made of one piece. And there's a great truth here, isn't there? There's only one gospel. There's only one gospel. There are not seven gospels. There are not three gospels. I can tell you, when you come to the Bible, it'll tell us about the gospel of the kingdom of God. Or the gospel of grace, or the gospel of Christ, or the gospel of peace. But it's all one piece. It's the same gospel. There's only one gospel. In the one piece. And in that gospel, I tell you here tonight, there's forgiveness. And there's life, and there's peace, and there's mercy, and there's love, and there's righteousness. But there's only one piece. And when you get one of those things, you get all of them. Because we're all in Christ. It's one piece. And all saved here tonight in this meeting, there's life in Jesus Christ tonight. There's righteousness in the Lord Jesus for you. There's mercy. There's love. There's righteousness. All of these things are found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. God says, make them just one piece. And thank God there's only one gospel. Remember the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9, and he brings these words of condemnation upon anybody who would preach another gospel. And there are many people today preaching another gospel. But Here's what the Bible says about such people. Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9, "For though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed." And it's very clear here in this message. There's no other gospel to be proclaimed. Doesn't matter if it's an angel from heaven. If he preaches any other gospel, the Apostle Paul says, let him go to hell. That's what he's saying. Because there's only one gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. You meet people, they say to me, well, we have our own message. We have our own ideas. They don't work. It's one piece. There's one message. One Savior. For you in this meeting tonight, outside of Jesus Christ, there's one Savior. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And all others are false. And they don't work. And there's people trusting other messages. And they're trusting themselves. But it doesn't work. There's only one. God says to Moses, that's how you're going to make it. And God hasn't changed when it comes to the salvation of sinners. It's through Jesus Christ and Him alone. And if you miss Him in this meeting tonight, if you're unconverted in this service, you may come to the services, you may sing the hymns, but if you're not saved, if you miss Christ, you've missed everything. Because He's the way, the truth, and the life. So God's given a pattern. He said, well, one piece is how you're going to make them, Moses. And also you can see here in making these out of silver that the trumpets were durable because they're made out of silver. If they were plastic or some other material, they could have been broken. They were made to last. You can see there in verse 8, "And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generation." So forever, as long as these people needed them, the trumpets would be there, you see. They were durable. They were strong. The gospel's the same, you see. It's been proclaimed for years. For years. I find when we come to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8, and the scripture for saying that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Abraham got the gospel preached, and the gospel, there's only one gospel. But way, way back in the days of Abraham, they were preaching the gospel. And today, many, many years, a few thousand years later, we're still preaching the gospel. And as long as time lasts on this earth, the gospel trumpet will still be here. The gospel message will still sound through all ages. You know, the Bible says in Revelation 14, verse 6, it's the everlasting gospel. It's still lasting. My brother and myself have been preaching a number of years now. The years are flying in for both of us. But you know, we're still preaching the same message. If I get the next year, I'll be 30 years preaching full time. I'm still preaching. The same trumpet is still lasting. It's still lasting. You see, it's durable. And also in this pattern here that God has given, notice that there were two trumpets. Yet two, but they made the same sound. It has been suggested that the two trumpets are two dispensations. In other words, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament had one message. Jesus Christ is the Savior. The New Testament has the same message as well. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Of course, they were preached differently in types and forms in the Old Testament. Now we have the truths of Jesus Christ proclaimed from His Word that He is the Savior of the world. But listen, friends, it's the same message. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's always been the Savior, and He will always be the Savior. It never changes. And God has shown us here in the trumpets. One message, one trumpet, or one trumpet sound together. Jesus Christ is the Savior. So we find here these lessons about the gospel in the building of the trumpets. Then I want to know about the blowers of the trumpets, because God's telling us who's going to blow them. Now, you hear about some people blowing their trumpet. Some people may be good enough at that. But God is going to tell us who's going to blow these. God's going to pick them. God has given the details how to build them. Well, he's saying, well, here's who's going to blow them. Verse 8 tells us who's going to blow them. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, listen, shall blow with the trumpets. And you find here the sons of Aaron, they were sons. They were sons of the great high priest. They were going to take possession here of these trumpets, and they were going to blow them. And God is very specific in this. Here's how he's going to blow the trumpets. And there's a great lesson for all of us here. It's not only the sons of the great high priest, Jesus Christ, who can really blow the gospel trumpet. The sons of God. I know we're all a witness for him, or we all should be in some manner of way. Some of us are full-time witness for Christ. That's the grace of God in our lives. Some are not. But I want to tell you, if you are saved, you should blow the gospel trumpet. You're a son of God. The Bible says when we get saved, as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. And so you're qualified to blow the trumpet. You're qualified to proclaim this message. You may go into the workplace tomorrow and your mates will be telling, they'll be about their weekend, they'll be blowing their trumpet all about the weekend. Well, you can blow yours. But no more about this in the next point, but you can blow yours and tell them about Jesus Christ. They were sons. And then also, another thing about them, they were called to do this. Because in Exodus 28, verse 1, God is saying to Moses, who's going to take on the ministry here of the Old Testament, and take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons, with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And then he goes on to tell him the names of his sons. But notice here, these people were called. This was not something they could take on to themselves. They couldn't just run up and say, well, I like the look and the shape of these trumpets, and I would like a job of blowing these trumpets and run up and take a hold of them. Not a bit of it. They were called. They were called to blow this trumpet. It's only a man who's called of God can really blow the gospel trumpet. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15 tells us, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And that is true. How are people ever going to be saved? How are they going to hear the gospel without a preacher? And then he said, how shall they preach except they be sent? God calls people. Chooses them out of the world, out of his people, to go out and to sound out this message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to all of God's people here tonight, we have some shape of a calling in our life. We're to blow the gospel trumpet and be a witness for Christ. Remember Isaiah 43 and verse 12. The Lord says, I have declared and have saved and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am your God. And God is saying, you're my witnesses. You're to be a witness for myself. I tell you today, there are many people, and there are false witnesses. Read the Bible, you'll read in 2 Peter 2 and verse 1 about false prophets. God calls his people to be a witness. There are false prophets giving an uncertain sound. But we're to blow these trumpets. The sons are to do it. Called. Consecrated. Because in Numbers chapter 8, verse 7, you'll find that these people, the sons of Aaron, and of course Aaron too, had to go through a process in order to fulfill their ministry. It says, thou shalt do unto them to cleanse them, sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. And there was this cleansing for them to go through in order for them to be in the ministry. Oh, if they're ever going to blow the trumpet, they had to be clean. And God's people are the same. If we're ever going to be a witness for Jesus Christ at home, in the neighborhood, or in the workplace, then our life has to add up. See, if we're keeping quiet, if it doesn't add up. I'm playing the hypocrite. He was not easy fooled at all. In Isaiah 52, verse 11, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. And God is saying, these are the ones who are going to blow them. They were sons, they were called, they were consecrated. And we can praise the Lord here tonight for those who are saved. We are the sons, the daughters of God. We have been called of God to be a witness for him. We should be cleansed. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. And therefore we are to sound out this message of the gospel. And so he tells us about the blowers of the trumpets. They're the sons of God. But I want to say lastly, and I want to major maybe this, the blowing of these trumpets. You'll find here in this chapter 10, it gives certain instructions to when the word to be sounded. And I want to say the first one is the appeal. You can find there that there was to gather the people together. Look at verse 2. Make thee two trumpets of silver, a whole piece shalt I make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. It tells us in verse 3 also that all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle when they blow with them. And then it talks on down there in verse 4 about the princes. And verse 7 talks about the congregation. So these trumpets were sounded out. They were calling the people. Come to the tabernacle door. Come to Moses. They were used to call the people to come. Is that not the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? To come to Jesus Christ. That's the gospel we preach. About Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners and we're lost without him. We need to come to him. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And so when we sound out the gospel, it's a gospel of invitation. Come, come to Jesus Christ. We don't call people to ourselves. We don't call people to our churches for salvation. We call them to Christ. You find here these trumpets were sounded out for the calling of the people. And I preach the gospel in different places, and I'm preaching the gospel in Killaloe at the moment, is to call people to Jesus Christ. We're sounding out the message, come to Jesus. And this pulpit tonight, we're sounding out to you, if you're unconverted, come to Jesus Christ. Leave your sin and come to him. So we find here they were blown to appeal to the people to come. You'll find also they're blown for an alarm. A number of times it tells us that in verse 5. And when you blow an alarm, in verse 6 again, when you blow an alarm the second time, in verse 9, then you shall blow an alarm. Talk there in verse 9, when you go to war against the enemy to oppress you. And it finds here there's danger. The battle is ahead. The enemy maybe has you surrounded, and so they blow the trumpets, and there's an alarm. There's danger ahead. And so they sound it out. These men sound it out with a trumpet. They give warning. They wanted to awaken the people. They wanted to stir them up. They were in danger, so they blew the trumpet. You could hang the trumpet onto the side of you, and the people in danger, and themselves in danger. Not a bit of it. God says, sound the alarm. And that's the same with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we preach the message of the gospel, we sound an alarm. We want to stir people up. We don't get them in to tickle their ears and send them home nice and happy. But no, there's times we have to preach about hell. But the broad road that leads to destruction, we are to warn people about their sin, how they have sinned against God and in the sight of God and going by his word, they're lost and they're lost without Jesus Christ and they're in danger of losing their soul. And we sound the alarm. We blow the gospel trumpet to waken people up, to get them to see the danger that they're in outside of Jesus Christ. What do we do in this pulpit? Our brother preaches the gospel to give you an alarm, to awaken you, to show you your danger. Maybe there's some tonight in this meeting and you know the danger that you're in and you're lost without Jesus Christ. And you know if you die as you are tonight, you're going to lost eternity in hell. Being honest with yourself. But we're sounding the alarm to warn you. There's danger and death in going on without Jesus Christ. Living a life of sin. The Bible is very clear. The wages of sin is death. So we sound the alarm of the gospel. Some people maybe doesn't like the alarm, but oh, they like nice wee stories. But that's not the case. We're to waken people up. Think of the words in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. God, Son of Man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. And God was very clear here to Ezekiel what he had to do. He says, give them a warning. Warn them from me. Warn them. So there's times we have to preach this message and we warn people. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 33, remember, to the old scribes and Pharisees, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? He warned them. We're not being unkind preachers when we preach the gospel and warn you about your sin and your soul and about the danger of hell. We're to blow the gospel trumpet. We're to sound an alarm. You'll never be saved unless you hear the alarm. You'll never come to Christ. You'll never leave your sin unless you hear the alarm. Has God been speaking to you tonight in this meeting? I trust he has. Another one was the blew the trumpet to do with the altar in verse 10. Also in the day of your solemn gladness, in the days of your gladness and your solemn days, and the beginning of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifice of your peace offerings. So there was these days, there were sacrifices, there was altars, there were burnt offerings, there were animals slain, the blood was slain. But listen here, they were to blow the trumpets. They were to blow the trumpets around the altar. And that great message for us, we're to preach the blood. We're to preach the blood of Jesus Christ. We preach Christ crucified. This is the gospel trumpet. We're not to preach a bloodless gospel. There's some people do that today. They don't like it, of course, when we preach about the blood of Jesus Christ. The talk some people would refer to the sacrificial work of Christ and the ministry that is preached, the slaughterhouse religion. Some of the moderns don't like it. But we're to sound the trumpet about the blood. John the Baptist, he says, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. We're to preach Christ and him crucified. We're to point people to the cross, to the blood. There's a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. And if you're unsaved tonight in this meeting, we point you to Christ, to the blood. You need to get to the blood. We blow the gospel trumpet. You have no other hope. You have no other way of getting your sins forgiven. But there's power in the blood. And so we blow the trumpet and say, get to Christ. You need to get to the cross by faith. You need to come to Christ and he'll wash you and make you whiter than the snow. That's the gospel here where we find it. And lastly, and very quickly, our time is gone. It was blown also for another one. We give you one more assurance in verse chapter 9. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God. Listen, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Oh, you're out there and the enemy's coming against you. Well, blow the trumpet, and listen, God will hear, and you shall be saved. You'll be saved from your enemies. Here's the message of assurance, blowing the trumpet. The people heard the trumpet being blown. They may have faced fierce enemies and great numbers of their enemies, but when they heard this trumpet been blown, it says, God's going to remember us. He says, God will remember you, and you'll be saved. We preach a gospel that saves. Christ Jesus said, I give unto them as sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's the gospel we preach from this pulpit. That's the gospel message from the Bible. We don't believe you're saved today and lost tomorrow. I don't believe it. Not one bit of it. Mr. Harris doesn't believe it. Or a denomination doesn't believe it either. The Bible doesn't teach it. When you're truly born again and trust Jesus Christ, you're saved forevermore. Eternal salvation. Christ says, you're in my hand and you'll never perish. There's sometimes we feel we're going to perish. There's sometimes we probably deserve to perish. But Christ says, you'll never perish. And that's the gospel trumpet, isn't it? And that's the one we blast out, friends. And there's people saved for a great number of years, and maybe you're feeling the weakness of your body, but you're glad Christ has saved me. That's the gospel message. We're in his hand and we'll never perish. So the blowing of these trumpets, the blowing of them, different ways. Thank God for the gospel message that we proclaim tonight to you. Are you saved? Have you obeyed it? Have you heard the gospel call? Have you come to Jesus Christ? And if not, why not? Why not come tonight? Why not settle this matter about your soul salvation tonight? Terrible thing for these people to hear the trumpet, never obeyed it. To hear it called, it blown to slam the doors of Moses, never bothered going. To hear it blown about the warning, but never went. To hear it blown about the sacrifices, but went nowhere near the sacrifices. Terrible thing. But there's people that got in their churches. I preached them to come to Christ, and they don't come. We tell them to look to the Lord Jesus and be washed in his blood, but they've never come. Would you not come tonight and trust him? He calls you to come to him. We're back to the first one there of the blowing of the trumpets. Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Have you heard him tonight speak to your heart? Maybe you've been thinking about getting saved, but you keep putting it off. Speak with Mr. Harris, myself tonight. Come to Christ. May he call you tonight. Let's just close in a wee word of prayer.